Welcome back. This is author Taryn Lupo. This is another bonus short story. While I'm plugging away on my next novel, which is top secret, by the way, you will be entertained by some short stories I wrote, which I'm trying to still shop around and decide if I want to publish or not. Anyway, I thought I would test run these by you and stop by my Facebook page and tell me what you think. One last thing is these things don't write themselves, and I would really appreciate a donation. Feel free to donate at that little button right next to us or at www.lupolit.com, like Lupo Literature, lupolit.com. Thanks. This short story is entitled Ouija Be My Friend. What's this game? A puff of brown dust filled the air as the tweens blew across the box top. Ouija, property of Savannah Oaks Senior Home. The girl wearing the crop top read from the label. Oh, I've seen this in a movie. It's supposed to let you talk to ghosts or something, her twin sister replied. Well, let's play it. I'm so bored. I hate that Mom drops us off here without our phones, so we have nothing to entertain us. It's so not fair. Sally's mom always lets her have her phone on her, Rita pouted. Well, we're supposed to be spending quality time with Grandpa, Catherine said sarcastically as she traced air quotes with her fingers. Sundays are such a waste of time, Rita complained. We don't even know Grandpa. I kind of remember talking to him when we were like babies, but shit. He's been this way for over 7 years now. What does Mom expect us to get out of this? Oh my God. I know. Sally's going to see a movie and we're stuck here listening to Frank Sinatra and Vic Damone. It's not like he even knows we're here, Catherine bitched. Who and who? You're such a nerd for knowing who is singing. All I have to say is epic fail. Hey, the stuff rubs off on you after a while. I kind of like it. It's better than that rap crap you like. Screw you, Rita retorted. My shit rocks. Anyway, Mom says he can still hear things. And if we play anything, we should play it in front of him so he can watch. So, I guess we can try and figure out how to talk to ghosts with this thing until Mom gets here. The two twins sat cross-legged on the floor in front of the catatonic man in the wheelchair. They opened the tattered box and took out the three-legged wooden stand and a game board with the alphabet, 10 digits, and the words yes and no printed on it. It says here, Rita began explaining from the handwritten directions on the back of the lid, we lay the board on a level surface and then we put the planchette in the center. What the hell's a planchette? It must be this heart-shaped thing. Catherine brought it up to her eye and peered through the little glass window in the center. You don't see any other pieces, do you? Catherine placed the old pine platform on the battered wooden board. Now what? It says we just put our fingertips on the little wooden thing and ask a spirit to join us. Hee hee hee. The girls giggled as they reached out their manicured digits. If any spirit is as bored as we are, Rita offered, come join us. The twins sat silent and looked around the room as if expecting a voice to answer them. The sound of their grandpa's oxygen machine was all they could hear. They burst out laughing, breaking the silence. Okay, Rita continued. Now all we gotta do is ask questions to the spirit. I'll go first, she said immediately, staking her claim. Her mood darkened and she grew very serious. In a calm, spooky voice, she slowly intoned, Spirit, can you hear me? My question is of great importance. Is my sister really the biggest dork alive? She howled as she pushed the planchette towards yes. Her sister resisted the best she could, but the window of the device stopped over the word yes on the board. Catherine bit back. Will my sister grow up to be a roadie who gets passed around by bands of musicians? The two wrestled the planchette again, but this time Catherine was victorious, and it landed on yes. Ew, gross. I will not be groupie trash. Rita shouted at the board. Both girls giggled and squealed as they asked the board increasingly degrading questions, until they had reached the limits of their sordid imaginations. They laughed till their insides ached. Then they paused to get their breath back. As exhaustion dissipated, the two turned somber. That was fun. But I'm going to ask you a real question, Rita announced. No pushing this time, promise? Promise, Catherine agreed. Upping the ante, she added, Twins honor? Twins honor, Rita repeated, invoking the private, never-to-be-broken vow they shared. Spirit, what's your name? The mood darkened in the room as the girls sat waiting for a response, their eyes glued to the board as they watched for any movement. This thing doesn't work, Catherine concluded. No, wait. I feel something, Rita warned. The planchet slowly started to move their hands down the row of letters. Are you moving this? Rita challenged. Her surprised-looking twin shook her head no. The wooden windows slid across the board slowly and with purpose. It stopped on J, then, gradually picking up speed, moved to A. The sisters called out the letters in unison as the window moved on, stopping at K, then E. Jake? Catherine wondered aloud. Do we know any dead guys named Jake? Do you have a last name, Jake? Rita asked, and the planchet skidded across the board more quickly now. G, R, A, F. The girls spelled out loud. The planchet returned to the starting position and circled in a quick, counterclockwise motion. Graf? What kind of name is that? Catherine asked scoffingly. Rita looked at her sister. Stop bullshitting me. I know you're just screwing with me and moving it to the letters. I swear, on Daddy's grave, I am not steering this thing. I thought you were moving it, Catherine retorted. No, Rita pleaded. I swear I'm not moving it either. The girls looked into each other's eyes, searching for telltale signs of trickery. We said, Twin's honor, they chorused. Maybe we should stop, Rita continued hoarsely. I'm pretty creeped out right now. Let's ask it one more question, Catherine suggested, hoping she sounded braver than she felt. Braver than her sister, anyway. She cleared her throat and swallowed her fear. Jake, where were you born? The wooden heart stopped circling and started spelling an answer. T-Y-B-E-E. Rita smiled and said, Hey, we live on Tybee, too. I wonder if we live near each other. The planchet quickly answered her rhetorical question and slid to yes. Slam! The sound of the door closing in the room made the twins jump away from the board and stand straight up. Catherine spun around and screamed at the sight of the large imposing man who had entered behind her. She jumped backwards into her sister's arms.
Sorry. I didn't mean to scare you. I need to clean your grandfather's bedpan,
the orderly said with an emotionless voice. What the hell? Rita stepped forward in front of her frightened sister. You just walked in and watched us? The disheveled man said nothing and simply looked at Catherine. Silence fell over the room until all that could be heard was the orderly breathing through his mouth. Catherine was unnerved by his lazy eye and could not figure out whether he was staring at her, and if so, from which angle. The awkward standoff was interrupted by a knock on the door. A blonde, overweight nurse walked in and surveyed the scene. She had a very attractive face, but years of night shift eating and sporadic daytime sleep had transformed her curves into trajectories.
Oh, hello, girls. I didn't see you were still here. My name is Nurse Trickett, and I need you ladies to clean up and wait in the lobby for your mom to pick you up. It's time for Earl here to clean up your granddaddy.
The girls nodded their heads in compliance and quickly put away the Ouija board. They slowly circled around the silent Goliath, keeping their distance as he tracked Catherine with his simple-minded gaze. The twins quickly left the room as Miss Trickett shouted, "See you next week!"
"Did you check the hall?" Rita anxiously questioned. "It's clear. I don't see any sign of that giant creepy dude. He must not be working today," her sister concluded. "Mom should only be gone about an hour, so we need to find something to do. I told her I'd be writing an essay for English class," Rita said, waving the journal she was carrying. "Is this one about," Catherine began,
"participation in government, key to a productive citizen.
Both girls said together, smirking.
"Screw this brainwashing crap. Let's turn off the lights and pull out the Ouija game," Rita exhorted. Catherine retrieved the old dusty box from the game room and Rita dimmed the lights.
"I still think you're bullshitting me. I know you moved that little wooden thing so it'd spell out words," Rita challenged.
"I did not," her twin refuted.
"You did,"
Rita continued. "Well, I thought of a way to prove it was moving on its own. I say we set it up and put it in Grandpa's hands." Catherine looked towards the ceiling and pondered the idea.
"Well, Mom did say we should try to include him in our games. Let's do it."
The two girls maneuvered their grandfather over to a small eating table on wheels. They pulled him up to it and laid out the game.
"Damn, his hands are so stiff. He's just like a mannequin. If we bend his elbow like this and straighten his fingers, he should hold on to it just fine."
Rita forced the rigid hands to curl around the planchet.
"Looks like he's got an iron kung fu grip on it."
"Okay, let's play," Catherine began. "I'll ask the first set of questions and you write down the answers," Rita suggested. "Then we can rotate when I run out of questions." Her twin nodded her head in agreement.
"I invite Jake to join us again. Come talk to us."
A silence settled over the room and all that could be heard was the incessant sound of the oxygen machine. After a minute, Catherine spoke up.
"I knew you were a bullshitter.
You're just pushing that thing around on the board."
"No, really, I wasn't. Twin's honor. Let me try again."
"Jake," Rita declaimed with authority, "I command you to join us." An unseasonably cold gust of air blew in from the window as the sliding noise of the board cracked the silence. The girls' jaws fell to their chest as their grandfather slowly started to make a figure-eight motion with the planchet. The twins looked uncertainly at each other, and Catherine cautiously approached to look at her grandpa's eyes. The old man was completely rigid and still had drool on the corner of his mouth. He continued to stare blankly at the floor. Even his hands showed no indication of life. It seemed they were simply hitchhiking a ride on the little wooden pointer. The twins watched their granddad, too scared to speak. Finally, Rita's curiosity overcame her fear, and she asked,
"Jake, is that you?"
The planchet slid toward the word yes.
"How old were you when you died?"
The gnarled hands moved the pointers to the number 3 and 9.
39, Rita repeated. "What's it like being dead?"
"Damn, sister," Catherine warned. "Don't ask him that. He might think you're a rude little bitch."
The little wooden heart snapped to life. D. A. R. K. It spelled.
A shiver ran up the twins' back as they looked at each other. Catherine took a turn.
"What did you do when you lived on Tybee Island?"
The crippled hands moved nimbly around the board. C. O. L. L. E. C. T. O. R.
"Our daddy used to be an antique collector."
"Is our daddy there with you?" The pointer slid to no. Rita interrupted.
"If you see him, tell him we miss him and we love him."
"Do you have a family on Tybee still?"
"Yes," the board replied.
The lights came on in the room and the girls screamed and shot up to their feet. their eyes adjusted to the sight of a lopsided stare. The giant rapidly closed in, and his mouth breathing seemed deafening so close to their personal space. The twins stumbled backwards, and Rita almost fell over the oxygen machine. The girls cautiously circled around him and kept their distance. The experience brought Rita's mind back to their encounter with a bear when her father had taken them camping. "Just don't provoke it," he cautiously instructed them. "Move slowly and don't look into the eyes." The two girls made it to the door as the silent man continued to stare at them. They ran to the lobby and nervously waited for their mom to pick them up. 10 anxious minutes later, they ran outside to meet the arriving car. Evening had set in as the twins cautiously made their way back to their grandpa's room. "I can't believe Mom made you come back and get your homework you left," Catherine complained. "I know. What's the point?" Rita growls conspiratorially. "It's not like it's due tomorrow, and who's going to take it?" "Really? I mean, it took her like 3 hours to notice you didn't have it, but still. She should have just let you leave it here till next visit." "Okay, here we are. You watch the hall for that stalker guy," Rita ordered, "and I'll go in and get it." She opened the door quietly and surveyed the room. Her grandfather was right where they left him, but the Ouija board was neatly put away on top of a dresser. There, on top of the game box, Rita spied her journal. It laid open to her assignment, and she was taken back when she noticed handwriting filled the page. Rita looked around the empty room and picked up the tablet. The penmanship was shaky, and each letter had been retraced at least 5 times. But the essay was completed. Rita ran into the hall. "Catherine, look at this crazy-ass shit. Our new stalker took it upon himself to finish my homework." Catherine examined the cryptic-looking writing. "I can't even understand what he's talking about here. The grammar and spelling are horrible. And he's just ranting about how terrible the Tybee court system is." "Well, I guess it is about government, sorta," sister reasoned. "I say, turn it in anyway," Catherine suggested mischievously. "I just might. If you don't, I will. But it's in your notebook, so you have first dibs." "I'd have to copy it so it's in my own handwriting," Rita mused, "and clean up the grammar. But it beats trying to write the whole damn thing from scratch." Catherine's eyes narrowed in pain, thinking of the work she still had to do. "Screw it," Rita decided. "I'll just copy it. All right, let's get out of here before Mr. McCreepy finds out I'm actually thinking about using his writings to avoid doing my own schoolwork." "Did you think of better questions to ask our ghost this week?" Catherine challenged her sister as they carried the Ouija board back into their grandpa's room. "Yes, I want to ask him all about what the afterlife is like," Rita replied. She set the board and planchet on the floor where they were sitting and put the box up on the dresser. Just as they were about to begin, the door to the room swung open and 2 police officers walked in, escorted by Nurse Trickett, who was chattering excitedly, too involved in what she was saying to have noticed the twins in the corner. "Normally, somebody dying here is not that big of a deal, but something is really out of sorts with this one. She was one of the healthiest residents we had, and her passing really surprised me. When I called the doctor to declare the patient dead, he told me there were signs of strangulation." Girls exchanged wide-eyed glances. Nurse Trickett took a breath and returned to a rapid explanation. "When I heard, I decided to call you guys to double-check. I found something today in this room that really makes me wonder if something's wrong. The resident who was strangled always wore a locket with a picture of her husband in it." As she spoke, one of the officers looked over the room and saw Catherine and Rita nearly hidden behind the dresser. "That locket went missing 2 nights ago when she was murdered. This morning, when I was doing my rounds, I found the locket being held by this man in the wheelchair." One of the officers put his fingers to his lips and motioned the nurse for silence. He cocked his head toward the corner where the twins were seated. Only then did Nurse Trickett become aware that the patient's granddaughters were in the room. She walked over to them and pointed an accusing finger. Do you know how this locket got here, girls? It's not like your grandpa could have got up out of his chair and stolen it. Are you two playing some sick joke on us?
I have no idea how that happened.
Rita stuttered in shock.
We haven't been here since last week.
One of the officers stepped forward. That's enough, Miss Triggett. Do you have any idea who would have access to both of the rooms during that time period?
Well, lots of folks come and go, but mainly myself and the orderly Earl,
Nurse Triggett offered. Catherine chimed in with unsolicited advice.
Officer, go check out that Earl guy. He is creepy as shit. I totally bet he did it.
You've heard enough, little ladies, the cop replied. Y'all need to leave this room while we give it a proper search.
Come along, girls, Nurse Triggett offered. You can call your mom to come get you from the front desk phone.
I can't believe it's already been a week. I felt like we were just there.
Do we have to go back?
The cops searched his room and everything. Plus, there's this stalker, mouth breather, who totally has the hots for Catherine. Rita whined.
Come on. You know she isn't going to budge, Catherine conceded, and resigned to the inevitable. Remember, this is the only me time, she configured her fingers in air quotes, Mom gets all week since Dad's accident.
Even with all last week's activity, nothing in their grandfather's room had changed. Nevertheless, something different greeted their sight as they entered, and immediately gasped in surprise. The Ouija board was already set up in their grandfather's paralyzed lap.
I guess that weird orderly set this up for us, Rita speculated.
Catherine shivered.
He did see us playing it twice. I guess he's trying to do something nice for us. I wish he'd just go away. He makes my skin crawl.
Well, let's play again.
The board looks pretty level in Grandpa's lap. All we have to do is wrap his fingers around that pointer thing.
Catherine reached out for the cold, wrinkled hands and latched them around the little wooden platform.
We don't have much time. I don't think Mom will be real long today. I'll ask a question, and we'll keep rotating, Rita suggested, and her sister agreed.
Spirit of Jake Graff, Rita began. We command you to our board.
Two of the senior citizens' cats, sitting outside on the windowsill, screeched and ran off. A chill moved through the air, and the planchet came to life and slid in a figure-eight formation. A tingle ran up the twin spines as they watched their grandpa move.
What does heaven look like? Rita fumbled.
D-O-N-T-K-N-O-W, the board responded slowly.
You mean you can't see any clouds, angels, or pearly gates?
O-N-L-Y-D-A-R-K. The pointer spelled. Catherine took her turn.
Do you know if that boy who sits behind me in science class likes me?
The pointer slid to no.
Damn it. I really thought he was going to ask me out this week.
Rita cut back in.
When did you die?
F-E-B. 1-4. O-F. 1-9-9-4.
Oh, man. Valentine's Day? Now I have another reason to hate that holiday. How did you die?
S-H-O-T.
You were shot by someone? Wow, I'm so sorry.
Light from the hall poured into the room as the door flew open. Their grandfather immediately froze in place and the planchet ground to a halt. To the girl's relief, Nurse Triggett approached.
Y'all gotta pack it up and wait for your mom at the front desk.
Oh, okay. We'll just put this board away. Don't tell Earl we were playing it. I don't want to encourage him, Catherine said.
Well, you don't have to worry. Earl was dismissed last week while the Tybee detectives investigate him. You're not the only one he creeped out. He photoshopped himself in a picture he found of me on the internet.
We've had to have a whole HR meeting about boundaries, the nurse related.
Well, he was really starting to make Catherine uncomfortable.
See you next week, Rita called as she left the room.
Wait a second. Rita's head tipped up as the girls waited in the front lobby. If Earl wasn't here today, who set up that Ouija board on Grandpa's lap? I guess it had to be Nurse Trickett, or some other orderly, Catherine replied. We can ask him about it next week. By the way, don't you think it's about time we tell Mom what's going on? She'd probably be excited to know Grandpa can move his hands when he plays with us. No way, Rita blurted out. You forget she was brought up all religious. She'd freak out and end up bringing a team of priests. You're right, Catherine concurred. I guess we better continue to keep this our secret. The twins waved goodbye to their mom as she drove away. As they rushed into the lobby, excited about talking to their own clandestine ghost, they were greeted by two familiar-looking police officers.
Can you call your mom back here? We need to talk to y'all, one of the cops demanded.
Sorry, dude. We don't have our cell phones on us. Besides, my mom turns off her phone when we come here so she can get an hour of peace and quiet. What's up? She inquired.
First off, don't ever call me dude again, the cop asserted. Second, there's been another strangulation of a resident.
Whatever, officer dude, Catherine snapped back. The cop shot her an annoyed look. Anyway, I thought you all were watching that scary Earl guy. Did he do it again?
No, we don't think so. He's been under surveillance all week.
So what does this have to do with our family? Rita challenged.
I really should wait till your mom gets here.
Come on, we want to help. What happened?
Well, it seems the victim had a unique hummingbird brooch she always wore. We found it in your grandpa's hand. Now, girls, think hard. Have you ever seen him move?
The twins looked at each other, and each knew what the other was thinking. They turned and answered with a unified, no.
Well, you need to hang out here until your mom comes back.
The twins nodded and watched the officer walk away to question Nurse Trickett. Rita turned to her sister. Screw this. I'm not hanging out here for a whole hour with nothing to do. Let's walk over to the internet cafe and check our email. We can be back before anyone notices us. The girls made their way to a nearby strip mall and paid an exorbitant fee to access their social networking site. Rita was giggling at a meme of a cat fighting a lightsaber when her sister interrupted her. I don't know why I never thought about this until now. Let's research our ghost. Hell yes, that sounds epic. Okay, search his name and Tybee Island. Rita punched in a search and numerous hits immediately appeared. His name is all over the place. Look at this, here. There's a picture of him. Man, and you thought Earl looked creepy. Oh God, did you see this? It says here that he was thought to have strangled 8 women in Savannah in Tybee Island. He was finally convicted because of a secret stash of trophies from 4 of his victims was found. After he choked the life out of him, he would take a piece of jewelry as a souvenir. Both twins turned pale and stared at each other in shock. Catherine finally broke the silence. You don't think the ghost we're talking to's the same guy? Oh, God. Quick, check out how and when he died. Rita pounded frantically at the keyboard. Oh, shit. Says he was put to death by lethal injection on Valentine's Day, 1994. That's what he must have meant when he said he was shot. Check it out, Rita continued. Here's an interview he did when he was on death row. He confesses to watching his victims for years at a time. He kept photos, logs of their movement, even their trash, Catherine observed, trying to keep up rapidly with the scrolling screen. He would obsess over the smallest details, especially their clothes and jewelry. Oh my God, look at this section here. Rita pointed to the text on the screen. The reporter asked him why he only steals 1 piece of jewelry from his victim. Jake responds by saying he's not a burglar, he's a collector. Catherine interrupted. Isn't that what the ghost said his profession was? Rita nodded her head. Oh yeah. Damn. We're going to have to tell the cops about this before this guy murders someone else. Catherine demurred. No way. Mom would be so pissed off if she found out we had anything to do with this.
Besides, how the hell are the cops going to arrest a ghost? She glanced at the time in the corner of the screen. Shit, it's time to go. We've got to head back before we get busted. The two girls quickly erased their browser history and headed back to the senior home, debating all the way whether or not they should share what they knew. As they hurried through the front gate, they stopped in their tracks. Nurse Trickett lay face down on the concrete, with the two cops kneeling on her neck and back, struggling to put handcuffs around her thick wrists. "What the hell are you doing? I'll have your jobs for this, you pieces of pig shit," she yelled as her carefully styled blonde hair sopped up a mud puddle. "You best stop talking, Miss Trickett," the cop shouted at her as he drove his knee harder into her neck. "We finally got a report back on your fingerprints. Even though you've changed your name many times, we still know who you are. We've been looking for you for a very long time, Miss Angel of Death." "You made a mistake. I have no idea who you're talking about," she screamed as they wrestled the cuffs onto her. The two girls watched Slackjaw. "Damn, Rita. I really wish I had my phone on me. If we recorded this, we would get like a million hits on YouTube." Her twin elbowed her in the ribs. "Shut up. Let's just stay out of the way and watch." The girls continued to take in the sight as the arresting officer eventually stuffed the muddy woman into the back of the cruiser. It has some strange-ass name, Munchausen Syndrome by proxy or something. It means that you hurt and kill helpless people for attention, Rita explained as she walked to the front desk at Savannah Oaks. What a great gig nursing has to be for that kind of sicko. How many did you say she... Catherine couldn't bring herself to complete the question. The internet said 14. All old folks. I can't believe we actually talked to a serial killer, Catherine shuddered. How scary is that? Really, Rita agreed. We're so lucky that she didn't strangle the life out of us, too. I guess we were too young for her type to be interested. Yeah, we're more Stalker Earl's type. Ew. Don't you mean Earl of Oxford? No point in calling him that anymore. He didn't write that essay. And the ghost did? You saw the letter to the editor. How could I miss it? The teacher showed it to the whole class. I thought the link was going to go viral. Yeah, well, Rita felt her face flushing. It was word for word the same. It was signed by Jake Graff. It was published just after he was caught. And he did have an axe to grind. I mean, a good reason not to like the Tybee local government. Well, you know the proverb about the stop clock. You've had to have used Grandpa's hand to put it to paper. That's super laxivity spooky, and I can't believe we're coming back here. Just be glad you're still not grounded, plagiarizer. And we can get out of the house to go do this, Catherine teased. 3 weeks, Rita began in a voice showing signs of over-rehearsal. 3 weeks go by, and then she asked to find the letter online. First time I've ever heard you tell me this, Catherine sing-songed, since sundown. Look, seriously, sister, we agreed we need to throw this Ouija board away, no matter how scary it is. Nothing good can come from chatting with a murdering burglar spirit. You agreed to do this, and I'm not going alone. The twins made their way to their grandfather's room and walked into its dim confines. Only one lamp was working in the corner, and even it was flickering. Open those blinds up, Rita ordered. Catherine pulled the cord on the window shade, but only a small amount of light seeped into the room. The girls searched for the Ouija and finally found it under Grandpa's bed. As Catherine picked up the old box, it tore and went tumbling to the ground. Holy shit, she shouted with fear. Sis, come look at this. Rita saw the bottom of the box and gasped. Does that say Jake Graff? Catherine nodded. Do you think this used to be his board? Well, remember how Savannah Oaks is always looking for donations? Rita mused out loud. Last year, Mom brought those chess boards we never used. Jake Graff's family must have donated his old games. The ghost said he still had family on Tybee Island when we asked him, Catherine filled in. Jake must be connected to this board, even after death. Oh, we definitely need to destroy this thing, Rita declared. A distant scream cut off Catherine's reply, and the sounds of commotion came from the hall. A nurse ran into the room. There's been another one! She's been strangled! Call the police! The twins quickly picked up the board and put it back in the box. Rita pushed forward. Let's check and make sure nothing bad has happened to Grandpa, and then let's get the hell out of here. The twins checked his face and confirmed he was still breathing. Good enough for me, Rita. Let's go. Wait, sis. There's something in his hand. Curiosity overwhelmed her good sense as she reached down and pried the shiny metallic object from his rigid grip. Well, what is it? Catherine impatiently demanded. It's a lady's watch. Both girls slowly approached their grandfather, searching for signs of lucidity in his face.
Crash!
The shade suddenly fell down, leaving a flickering bulb as the room's only illumination. The girls squealed in terror and grabbed each other, crunching the game between them. Shit, 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 let's go, Catherine yelled. Rita thought she saw her grandfather's head move slightly between flickers of light. She inched closer to him. Here, take your trophy back. She trembled as she dropped the watch into the paralyzed man's lap. The lamp blinked out, and then it flared back on. The watch was being held tightly in the crippled, knobby hand. Rita drew closer. Grandpa? Is that still you in there? The catatonic man remained motionless. The lamp went out, then flickered on again, its soft glow steadily brightening. She licked her lips and nervously asked, Jake, is that you in there? His eyes slowly rose from the floor up to the shaking girls. His deadpan expression morphed into a crooked smile as the sound of a shattering light bulb echoed through the blackness. Well, I hope you enjoyed this short story. And again, these things don't make themselves, so I'd really appreciate a donation over at lupolit.com, www.lupolit.com, like Lupo Literature. Thanks so much for listening.